This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Housing prices are rising so fast and so high in some cities that families bringing in the median income, which is about $55,000 a year in Michigan, cannot afford to buy a home. More people are renting, and that's driving rent prices higher. So what do you do when your workforce cannot afford to live in your city? Among other cities, that's a real problem in Grand Rapids. Joining us to talk about that is David Allen. He's the executive director of Innova Lab, formerly the Kent County Land Bank. David Allen, welcome.
Thank you.
So how bad is the housing situation in Grand Rapids and the rest of Kent County?
From the industry experts that I listen to and that I speak to on an almost daily basis, historically bad. Real estate markets are generally gauged by how much inventory is available in the market, because that's, you know, supply and demand. That's what determines the price. And so the inventory levels in West Michigan, Grand Rapids area, is hovering right around less than 1 month's worth of inventory, which is a healthy market will have anywhere from 3 to 6 months' worth of inventory. Hmm. Matter of fact, USA Today just came out in the recent weeks with the 10 hottest real estate markets in the United States of America, and the hottest market in the United States of America was Kentwood. They had like 2 days' worth of inventory on the market.
Some of the problem, as I understand it, is out-of-state investors buying up properties. In fact, some of them have purchased homes from your organization. All they want is a really good return on their money, which, you know, is capitalism. But what's the net effect of those investors buying up homes in Grand Rapids?
To be honest with you, Lester, I think we're past that point. Historically, we're long past the mortgage loan housing crash. That's when those investors were buying. They were buying large pools from large banks. They've typically, most of those single-family homes, have either been absorbed into the rental market, or they've actually, in many cases, sold them for home ownership opportunities. The market has gotten so high, they've cashed in and gotten out. So really, out-of-state investors right now doesn't really appear to be a major cause.
What role should land banks like Innova Lab play in making sure there are homes that the working class can afford?
I think that's probably the most important question. All the land banks in the state of Michigan, and there's about 40 of them, operate under the auspices of the State Land Bank Authority. Josh Brigette is the director there. And last year at our leadership conference, all the leaders of all the land banks get together. Josh made it very clear to all the land banks that we own a lot of buildable land in the state collectively. And that if we're not about building properties or getting homes built on these properties for working class families to afford, then we're missing the mark. If all we're doing is collecting blighted properties and tearing properties down, we've missed the mark. We need to be about development. So we believe at Innova Lab, and we're carrying that out, and I think through partnership with the State Land Bank, that we're going to seize on that opportunity to get homes built on these lots.
Right. Your group has been putting up modular homes on empty lots. How well is that working?
It's really been amazing, honestly. From a price perspective and from a timing perspective, from start to finish, we can get a house ordered and on the lot and fully ready to be occupied within 3 months. We're seeing a cost per square foot at about $100 to $110 a square foot, whereas new construction's costing between $150 and, in some cases, $200 a square foot. But most importantly, even if you did want to stick build a house today, the workforce in the trades is just so in such dire need. Most people are even having a hard time finding contractors. So modular home construction, which is not manufactured home, I'll be real clear on that. These are not mobile homes. These are stick-built homes off-site that are, in most cases, higher quality than what you would be able to build yourself, are able to be done quicker, more cost-effectively, and then the land banks, because our cost of land is zero, we're passing on that savings to the buyer. So we're able to sell homes in that $169,000 to $229,000 range for working-class families, and that's really been our goal and what we've been focused on.
I'm glad you made the distinction between modular and manufactured, but still modular homes for a lot of people has, you know, have different looks. I know in my hometown there were a lot of modular homes that all look like ranches. You know, what are these modular homes you're putting up look like?
That's a great question. Fairly soon on our website, innova-lab.org, we're going to have all of our models. We've been working with Champion Homes, which is the largest modular manual home manufacturer in the nation. And we have designed specific designs that fit into the urban context. For example, we just placed 3 homes a few months ago. One is in a traditional neighborhood, and it's a traditional, if you looked at it today, you'd never know that it was installed with a crane. One is on a cul-de-sac with all ranch-style homes, and it's a really beautiful ranch-style home that fits in that neighborhood. And the other is in a more historic neighborhood, so it's a tall, skinny front-to-back. So we've got designs that really will fit into any urban context. I think that modular home construction for urban infill lots is really the answer right now to get. No one's ever going to solve the housing crisis. It's too dire, but it's, I think we can make a dent in it.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a little bit. I'm just wondering, how unusual is it for a land bank to be taking on the role of an affordable housing developer?
Actually, it's not that unusual, to be honest with you. I could point to the Kalamazoo County Land Bank. In Kalamazoo County, there's not a lot of really high volume nonprofit housing providers, and the Kalamazoo County Land Bank serves that role and serves it quite well. I think in a couple of other areas, the land bank concept is being looked to meet this need, because the government funding for affordable housing is drying up. Therefore, a lot of nonprofit housing corporations are kind of going by the wayside or slowing down their production or focusing just on large-scale low-income housing tax credit projects. There's really a missing gap right there, and I think land banks play a key role in filling that.
Are your efforts actually making a real difference, a significant difference, or is the gap between housing costs and the average paycheck in Kent County simply too great to overcome in any significant way?
I'd be hard-pressed to say we're going to make a significant difference, but I will definitely say we are making a difference. We have about 125 buildable lots. We've got, by the time we get to Thanksgiving, we will have built 13 homes on those in a matter of about 6 months. That's some pretty significant inventory coming to the market, and I think it will at least help. I can definitely assure you of that.
So if you're having some success with this, are there other cities that could learn from your example?
Yeah, I think so. The State Land Bank has turned to us and has actually partnered with us to help. The State Land Bank on its own owns right around 4,000 to 5,000 lots around the state in areas where there weren't land banks or before there were land banks. And they're working with us closely, and we're helping them implement this modular model in other areas that have a similar housing need.
So we've been talking about the downside, but I imagine, you know, being a hot real estate market, there's got to be an upside to this. Unfortunately, it's not going to be for the working class folks, but it's good for Grand Rapids?
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. And what's missed in this conversation, Lester, and I do not want to downplay in any way, shape, or form the thousands of families that are trying to find housing. But the one piece that I think is not being discussed is in many of these urban neighborhoods, they're still maintaining a 50 to 55% home ownership rate. And most of those homeowners who live in that neighborhood have lived there 40, 50 years, many of them being African-American and Hispanic families who moved in, and then the white flight happened and they saw their values go down. Now, all of a sudden, their values are going up. And in many cases, those families are turning those homes on to their children, and that's their family's legacy. That provides wealth for families. And I think it certainly is hurting families that are trying to find housing, but for the existing homeowners who've seen their values go bad in some of these more traditional neighborhoods, they're seeing it come back, and I think that's a good thing over the long haul.
David Allen is the executive director of Innova Lab. Thanks very much for talking with us.
No problem. Anytime.